Mike Mitchell and Nick Weiger are the hosts of Doughboys, a popular podcast where the two LA-based comedians review fast food chains with guests from the entertainment industry. Before they perform at this weekend's Solid Sound Festival on the campus of MassMoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts, the Doughboys spoke with WAMC about the origins of the show and some of its most memorable moments over the past 4 years.
Nick and I had talked about doing something together.
Yes. Just a collaboration, because we'd known each other for years at the time.
Yeah.
And we hadn't really ever worked together on anything except for a handful of, like, sketches. We were in sketch groups that shared an hour, different sketch groups.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch's was much more successful than mine. And we...
he was in a great sketch group.
But we didn't have no TV show. Come on. And anyway, we would... But we just talked about, like, hey, let's maybe figure something out. And then we were like... us being us, both being like kind of lazy slash apathetic slash, you know, listless,
handsome,
good looking. We were sort of like, what's the easiest thing we can do? And we settled on a podcast, which is something that neither of us had done before. So we're like, oh, let's do a podcast. And then after
that. The perfect thing for handsome men.
Yeah. The perfect format for real dreamboats. And then we decided on a format. We discussed some ideas, but I think
we went to lunch at the Cheesecake Factory.
That's right. And then that was kind of our light bulb moment, if you will.
I got to give Nick credit. He had the idea of fast food and chain restaurants.
Mitch contributed to this. Was not all me.
All the success since then is me, but Nick said fast food chain restaurants.
Can I take the light bulb thing again and say I had a heat lamp moment.
So ostensibly, Doughboys is a fast food review show, but it's mutated over the years into something a lot more than that. How do you describe the podcast to people?
We usually tell them not to listen.
Yeah,
to
we
it.
Tell them not to listen. We tell them it's bad. We say it's two heavy set guys arguing over things, including Mitch arguing that I shouldn't be able to call myself heavy set.
Yeah, that is true.
I am overweight. Look at my BMI.
I think that. I just tell people, like, oh, I have a podcast, and it's a comedy podcast. I'm like, what's it called? I'm like, Doughboys. And then, like, oh, what do you talk about? I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And then I say, it's about fast food and chain restaurants. And then they're like, oh. They're always kind of weirded out by it. I'm like, but it is. I'll tell them, I'm like, it is supposed to be funny. I'll let them know that it's supposed to be funny. And then usually they never, once they hear that, they've tuned me out at this point anyway.
Right.
So,
yeah. I usually will say... I work in production and leave it at that. Like if I'm disclosing what my profession to a stranger, I will not go into any detail about what I actually do. But I will say that I think when we've described it to people who are in a context of like, well, okay, this is someone who can give me some sort of opportunity and I need to be candid with them and say what I'm actually doing and try to sell ourselves a little bit. We sort of say like we review fast food and chain restaurants and we talk about it in terms of we're there to celebrate this. We're not there to make fun of it. We're not there to say like who eats at Panera or to sneer at how over the top KFC's food is. We like this food. We enjoy it, and we want to appreciate it on the level that it's trying to be appreciated.
Agreed.
So you've reviewed hundreds of restaurants, eaten thousands of individual items. What really stands out amidst all of that over the last 4 years of reviewing fast food?
What stands out? That's a great question. I think if we're thinking about memorable meals, like meals where it's like, oh man, that was great. I certainly think about going. We had sort of a Texas three-step, if you will, where we hit up three different restaurants in Texas. We went to Torchy's Tacos in Austin. We went to help me out with a donut place.
Shipley's.
Went to Shipley Donuts in Houston, and we went to Whataburger in Dallas. And just like hitting those, all three I thought were great. And there were three things three chains I'd never been to before. And sort of that sequence of hitting those three in 3 days, even though it was a lot and it was very heavy food, to me that's very memorable. And I really like that. I really enjoyed having when we did Shake Shack for the podcast. I'd had Shake Shack before, but that was one where it was kind of like, you know, it was like, oh, this is a thing that we need to cover. And they just opened a Shake Shack in L.A. So it was like, oh, this is like, I feel like we're actually in the zeitgeist for once. And we've rarely returned. But I feel like we're kind of like, oh, we're kind of on top of things. We're kind of vaguely topical right now. two meals that stand out to me with our buddy Carl Tart, Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, which is his personal favorite. And we had a fantastic meal there, and he had a fantastic personal anecdote attached to that chain, which to us is like what this show is all about, is just like people's memories are so often tied into the food they've eaten. And then similarly, he took us to a Waffle House when we were in the South. And also for the podcast, we went with our buddy Alan McLeod as well, a native Alabaman. And we just had a fantastic meal there. I could not believe how much I'd love Waffle House. This was me having it for the first time, and then I was going to review it for the show, and it blew my mind. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree with Nick. I mean, I can't really think of anything else to say. You knocked it out of the park. I mean, I can tell one time that really stands out when we went to a restaurant called Caro's.
Was
basically is now shuttered.
Kind of the opposite experience. This was memorably bad. Yeah. That was one of the worst meals we've ever had.
It just was almost matched by not the Al's. One of the items we got at Al's Beef in Chicago was nearly as bad, but
probably
like
the worst
Al's
thing
Beef
we've ever eaten. But yeah, for the show was that an individual item. But the worst meal I think we ever had was Caro's, which is kind of a Denny's analog, a dying SoCal. It was at one point largely along the whole West Coast and across several Western states, and now it's just in L.A. and it's kind of decaying justifiably. And we went there, and the server we asked the server for recommendations, and what did she say, Mitch?
She said, "I don't eat the food here."
Yeah. And that basically set the tone for the meal we're going to have.
Yeah.
So what's a food item that you're totally burned out on after years of the show?
Whew.
Wow.
Everything.
Yeah.
I mean, our love for, we've done months. We do this thing called Munch Madness every March.
Right.
Instead of March Madness. It's a very funny joke, a very funny take.
It's a really good joke.
On March Madness. And we,
By the way, it's also called the Tournament of Champions, which is we take champions and we turn into champions, which is also another good joke.
That's as funny as our podcast gets.
But when
we were doing the Tournament of Champions, we've basically done all of my favorite foods. We've done cheeseburgers, and we've done burgers, and then we've done pizza, and we've done tacos now, tacos and burritos. These are hitting all my
favorite.
Fried chicken. We've 100% all my favorite foods, and then we just eat it for a full month straight and get tired of it. And it's such a bummer when that month finally closes.
Yeah, it's like an exercise. It's like it's almost like the purpose is to burn us out. Here's something that I could, more generally, that I could do without at this point. The appetizer sampler platter. I feel like every chain has some version of their thing that's got some chicken tenders, some mozzarella sticks, some onion rings, whatever their specialty app is, maybe some popcorn shrimp. It's just a bunch of different breaded stuff with a bunch of different samey sauces. And it's basically the same everywhere. Sometimes it's better than other times, but it's just a bunch of like hyper processed breaded food. It's very heavy and it's rarely satisfying anymore. I feel like every time I come across that, I'm like, kind of given a heavy sigh as I take my bites of food.
Yeah, I agree. I think that sometimes, I mean, we still order it to this day because a lot of times it contains like two or three of the things we want to try, and then we can try their takes on mozzarella sticks. But I think if you're doing one now, you should switch it up and have some interesting choices on there. It should be things that are unique to your restaurant.
Exactly.
So alongside just eating, you've meditated, you've seen Dave Matthews in concert, you've played Japanese dating games, you've done a lot of extracurriculars for the podcast. What sticks out with you from those food-adjacent activities?
I think what stuck with us when we've done that is like, oh, we should have done a different format where we didn't have to slowly destroy our bodies by having unhealthy food.
I would say not slowly. I think it's pretty quick.
Okay, quickly. It's been a rapid decline in both our physical and mental health since we started doing this podcast and eating so much garbage. Yeah, I think that to me has been my main thing of just like, oh, if we did a podcast where we reviewed movies, then we'd just watch a movie. And yeah, at some point we'd maybe be like, ugh, I got to watch a movie. I'm kind of busy this week. But whatever. It's not like I've got to eat like 1,200 calories of trash.
Yeah, I agree with that. But a thing that sticks out about all that, I mean, when we traveled up, when we did the Portland, Seattle, Vancouver stretch, just driving up the west coast of the country was really great, Nick.
It was lovely up there.
It was really lovely. It was cool to do that and kind of stop in and get to see different parts of the country.
Right.
And kind of, and it is interesting to see how fast food operates in different areas. It's not the same everywhere. In some places that are more go-to in Texas, or it's a lot different in Seattle. So that's interesting to see. And that's kind of stood out, just seeing the world and seeing the world through fast food, which is sadly how we see it.
It's true. I rarely travel, and I've traveled specifically for this podcast. I'm going to Massachusetts for the first time for this podcast.
And then going to London. Nick's never been out of the country besides Canada.
I don't want to go.
And he's going to London.
I don't want to go.
You got to. You said yes.
So speaking of Massachusetts, I'm fascinated by your expectations for Western Massachusetts. Mitch, you know, you're a Quincy guy. I'm interested in what your relationship is with the western part of the state. And Nick, you know, you're a SoCal surfer dude out here in the hills. What are you looking forward to about Western Massachusetts?
You know, I don't know what to expect. I haven't researched it at all.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I guess it's going to be beautiful because Mitch says that. I mean, I think he'll say that about anything associated with his home state. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whatever. I think I honestly don't know what to expect. I'm sure there will be some lovely people. I'm sure there will be some friendly folk. I'm sure that not all New Englanders have the same attitude that Mitch does. And
you mean a nice attitude?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So there's going to be some real jerks there.
You get to see the Berkshires, Nick.
What's that? The Berkshires?
Yeah, it's just like a Highland mountain. It's just like trees, basically.
Is it trees? Is it woody? Is that what I should be expecting?
Yes.
I should be going over there and like, what am I in the movie? Toy Story franchise? It's so woody.
I was just going to say the East Coast mountains are way different than the West Coast mountains. You also said Berkshire's weird.
I said it Boston-y.
You said Berkshire's.
Yeah. I was trying to say it Boston-y, and now I've sold out so much that I can't even do a Boston accent anymore.
You sound pretty Boston-y to me, but I'm sure the real Bostonians would be the Berkshire's.
Assumption College, where my sister went in Worcester.
Assumption College?
Uh-huh.
I have to say, calling Worcester Western Mass is the most Boston move ever.
What is that?
Calling Worcester Western Massachusetts is a key Boston move.
Worcester is so far Western Mass that it's the furthest Western Mass I want to go. I went to Ithaca in upstate New York, and so I drove all the way through Massachusetts, but like Northwestern Mass, I didn't hang out in like that part of the state too often. Worcester and Springfield are usually about as far as I venture, but it's
so
beautiful.
With that in mind, So with that in mind, what should we expect from Solid Sound this weekend? What restaurants will the Doughboys be taking on this weekend?
Wow, we should have confirmed this first.
But
let me tell you.
Who cares? Let's just tell them.
We're just going to say it. We are going to be tackling
Friendly's. Yes.
And another chain.
Papa Gino's, most likely.
Probably Papa Gino's, but potentially Bickford's. We're figuring out the logistics, so it's a little tough because we have to make sure that our we have guest availability and our guests are going to come have the meals with us because it's part of the podcast. So we're figuring all that stuff out.
Here's where my head is at right now. I know Nick is trying to eat healthy, but Nick,
yes,
you only got a weekend there. As a lot of people in Massachusetts know, there's a lot of chains that we're famous for and they're all dying.
Right.
So there's this thing like, you know, Papa Gino's is a chain that's dying. D'Angelo's, which is tied to, is I think, at the same company as Papa Gino's, also dying. I want Nick to try both of those. Friendly's, Bickford's, Bertucci's, all these places that that could be closed by the time Nick comes back. I want him to try. So, in my mind, we should do just a little food. We should do a food road trip for the second episode.
Sure. Like we're just going to go hit a few different places.
We should.
Yeah, we can sort out the logistics. I'm open to that.
All right.
Yeah, so we'll
so TBD. that's just been we're now confirming it right now, but it's TBD.
We're doing Friendly's and TBD.
A minute ago, you mentioned Toy Story 4. I wanted to just sort of play this out for a minute. If you had to cast each other in a Disney remake, what role would you put your fellow podcast host in?
Wow, good question.
Nick would be the bully from Toy Story that wants to destroy toys.
What are you talking about?
You'd be the bully from Toy Story who wants to destroy toys.
The sociopath?
Yeah.
The guy who's going to go on to a life of crime? You think that's me? You think that's me as a youth?
Yeah, and I'm Woody.
You're not Woody.
Yes, I am.
No way you're Woody.
I'm Woody.
You're not Woody at all. You're not the hero.
I'm fine. I'm Buzz.
Yeah, you're Buzz. You live a life of lies. You're deceived.
What? I live a life of lies.
You're Woody. I'm Woody and you're Buzz. That's basically the dynamic. Because you are frustrating me.
Mm-hmm.
Because and you are like you're just ignoring me because you got other stuff going on.
I'm having fun. I'm exploring.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think, I mean, my mind went to, I feel like the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, if that wasn't already covered.
You say me?
Yeah, I feel like you could cover that.
And what are you? You're the transformed prince?
No, I was just going to say you wouldn't need much hair and makeup. You could just slide you right in. Just need a different wardrobe. Yeah, what would I be? I don't know. I think I'd be I'd just be a coward. That's basically what my role would be. Just someone who doesn't do something heroic. A guy who ducks into a barrel and covers his head when Gaston is marching through the town or something.
I'd be LeFou, Gaston's buddy. I actually was LeFou. That was one of my first big roles, Nick.
That's cool.
So I would be the LeFou to your Gaston, which is very pathetic.
Wait, I'm Gaston now?
Yeah, you're like a cowardly Gaston.
Oh, I'm like a scared Gaston. Yeah. I'm beta Gaston.
So I did solicit a few questions from fellow fans of the podcast, and this one really caught my ear. If you could eat any part of the human body with no repercussions,
wow,
what would you choose and how would you have it prepared?
Wow.
This is an excellent question. I feel like the most tender meat of all would be on the lower part. Like, I feel like I just want a leg. Like, give me a human leg.
You want
leg.
A leg?
Yeah, give me a human leg.
Jeez, why don't you just go for the heart, you psychopath?
Do you like eating offal? Do you like eating organs?
No.
I sometimes can enjoy sweetbreads, but it's not my favorite. I think I'd rather have the...
No, I'm just saying taking someone's leg is... I would try to take an ear or something. You know what I mean?
I think an ear would be too much cartilage. I think the texture wouldn't be great. I think if you have one of those legs and you slow roast it, like on a rotisserie on a spit, I think that leg can be pretty toothsome.
You know what I'd take? I would take a finger wing. So you just have a finger that's like a buffalo wing.
Oh man, that's wild.
And you just take one, finger.
Oh, that's mad. This sounds like hell. I'm thinking of a world where aliens are dissecting us and taking and fingers
Jesus.
Are delicacies. Fingers are
what
we think are wings.
I'd just take a slice of the rump or something so that the person would be okay.
Mitch is eating ass. Mitch is eating that butt.
I'm sure this will get in the interview.
Mitch wants to eat that butt.
I'm sure that you can print this. Or play this anywhere.
This is good web content. So, I know Doughboys is so ingrained in culture.
We finally made good web content.
So, Doughboys is so ingrained in culture at this point, it's inevitable that there will be tributes to it as time goes on. When you imagine an adaptation of Doughboys, are you seeing a sitcom, a stage play, a Ken Burns-style documentary?
I'm assuming that it will be a dramatic reenactment on a true crime show.
Yeah. This is Discovery ID.
Yeah. And then whichever of us who survives will play ourselves because we'll be hard up for work at that point.
Do you remember the Sopranos episode where Tony and Christopher get into a car wreck? Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
And then Tony closes Christopher's nose closed?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see Weigert, my relationship ending.
Yeah, I watched that scene. I was like, man, I'd love to be Christopher right now. Just end it when I'm kind of in a daze. I don't remember what happened just before.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
You transitioned into a Patreon model a couple years ago, and I imagine it's really transformed your ability to make the podcast. So looking into the production side of things, what was that transformation like going to a paid system like Patreon?
This is an excellent question. I mean, this is the... Mechanically, it's double the number of episodes that we have to put out,
yeah.
But it's worked out very well for us financially, thankfully. The thing with podcasting is that it's difficult to monetize. I think everyone's still figuring it out. A lot of these shows are free with ads. A lot of some of these networks have their own premium services. We just followed the model of some other shows that we'd seen and decided to start a Patreon on our own. And our network at the time was very permissive, and thankfully, when we moved to HeadGum, our current network, who we love, they were very permissive about, yeah, you guys can have your Patreon and do your own thing. Uh-huh. But basically, what it's been is it's enabled us to do things like, oh, we can go on a trip to try this food. It's a little easier for us to tour, which a lot of times are honestly, just about the economics of it, a lot of times when we're doing live shows in other cities, it's a break-even proposition. This makes it a little bit more where it's like, okay, well, this is, we can go and do this thing, and we can try these things, and we can make more of a we can create more content that's maybe has some upfront costs in terms of what we need to make something work.
I mean, yeah, we're very grateful to you know, make what we do on Patreon. It's been very nice for us, and also I feel like it's that sort of thing of Nick and I have. It's nice to be in this industry and making something and get paid well for it,
right,
which is a thing that doesn't happen in this industry often.
Yeah, I'll let Mitch finish, but we took a loss the first year and a half doing Doughboys. Mitch and I were going out of pocket for all our meals, and we weren't making any money off of
that. Not that we started the podcast to make
money. Not that we did, but that was just the economic reality of it.
And so it is not, especially in an industry that makes you feel like you're not supposed to be paid well.
Right.
And you feel, you know, a lot of time you spend out here, you feel taken advantage of. To then have people support us, and it comes directly from fans, it's a really nice scenario where we feel good about what we make. We kind of are a little bit uncomfortable about it, obviously, but it's this thing that's coming directly to the fans, to us. And a
right.
lot of times people are just doing it to support us because they know that we make the podcast every week, which is great. And
yeah.
It's been really great for us.
We also too we've been able to, you know, we've gotten more of a consistent staff here. It'd be so we, you know, our producer Yusong Liu, our engineer Emma Erdbrink, who are with us for almost all of our records and come on the road with us when they can.
They're just doing the Hang Ten sign, as you said their names.
Yeah, but they're an essential part of our team and you know part of what we our Patreon revenue allows us to have a more of a full team, and it's not just Mitch and I doing it all on our own, which we're incapable of doing.
Yeah,
I mean the show was worse when it was just us.
Yes.
So looking through the rest of the year, you mentioned a trip to London. What are the other big things coming up for Doughboys?
How much can we say? We're going to London and we're going to Toronto.
Yes. Wait, I don't know if that's been announced yet.
Okay, we're going to London. We're not going to Toronto. Detroit,
yeah.
Has Detroit been?
I think so, maybe.
There's a few more.
We're going on a few more trips.
No,
Yusong
is saying no.
We're going on a few more trips this year.
We're doing a few more trips this year, but we've traveled so much this year that it's been great, and it's been very rewarding. But I think we're the last dates we have planned will be the last for this year, I think.
Yeah, and I'll say, too, we always do a theme month each October. So, you know, we did Rocktoberfest, which was all our rock-themed restaurants, places like Sammy Hagar's Cabo Wabo Candina and the Hard Rock Cafe. We did Jockdoberfest, which was our sports-themed restaurants. We did Rock Lobster Fest, which is we went to Red Lobster four times. And
Are you going to announce the next one?
Last year we went to October Blessed,
yeah,
which was all of our religious themed chain restaurants. I won't say it. I don't think we should say it yet. I think we should sit on it. But Mitch had an idea. He says I never take any of his ideas. I accepted this one immediately.
Oh God.
He has a really, really good idea for what October is going to be, and I think when people find out, they're going to lose their minds.
Yeah. They're going to flip their lids.
Their lids are not going to be in the previous orientation.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a little hint when I say flip their lids.
It might be. It might not be.
Guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks
Lovely
so much.
To talk with you, Josh.